in order to solve a problem, we have to admit that we have one.
And I thought we were close.
No.
I was waiting for one of them to snap, and it never happened.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Ryan Doyle, Savan Pelvetsian, who's the CEO of Civic Action, here on the roundtable this afternoon. We are joined by Trevor Mayo, political commentator. Barb DiGiulio, host of The Night Side. I feel like I haven't seen you in ages.
Other
than the two of us passing like ships in the night in the hallway.
Yep.
Rob McEwen is here, Senior Vice President of Healthcare and Pharmaceuticals at Argyle. Great to have everybody here today.
Thank you.
Thanks. Let's start off, and this may be one of the only things we end up talking about here on the panel this afternoon, with the discovery of these two bodies. Manitoba RCMP saying these bodies found as they hunted the area in Manitoba that the nation has sort of been transfixed on, are likely the two individuals that are responsible for the deaths of three people. You know, this search went across four provinces. We're talking about a massive landscape. Here's what the RCMP had to say today as they addressed the media that were assembled.
This was a search that could not have been successfully achieved without the help from our partners and the Canadian Armed Forces. From RCMP employees who came in from across the country and from multiple private partners. Above all, however, it was a search that could only be successful if we had strong public engagement and support. Thank you to all Canadians for remaining vigilant, for calling us with information, and most importantly, for being our partners.
Barb, I think one of the questions a lot of people struggle with when it comes to a story like this one is that, you know, if these two people are the right people and they killed a number of people and in a very graphic, from what we understand, fashion, then I don't really care that they're dead. But the other part of me says, I want to know more. I want to know what went on. I want the answers to the questions. So that part of me says, it's unfortunate that they're dead and we won't get those answers, especially if you're the families of the victims.
It's extremely difficult for the families because you're right. This is cold comfort to them. These people are gone, especially people in the towns that were on high alert because of them. Now they can breathe a sigh of relief. But it's the why that's going to bother people for a long time. It's just such an odd story. I know the father of one of the guys came out very early on saying he had written a book and his son had a hard life. And I think this story definitely is far from over. There will still be searches of all kinds of data and exchanges, perhaps text exchanges, who knows? I think, though, I would assume most of us, because I have felt for the last while, that this would probably be the outcome. Because if you're still out mm-hmm. there, you think there's going to be another sighting. There's going to be something. And there just hasn't been for so long.
Yeah, Rob, when you look at the ability to survive in the wilderness like that, I've even seen Survivor Man interviewed multiple times about this. It's not for everybody. You have to sort of be trained to those type of elements. We don't know what the cause of death is in this circumstance. But when you heard that these two were dead, what was your reaction to it?
You know, this is just a true tragedy. But I'm not surprised that this is the way it ended. You talk about the rugged terrain. We heard that from the RCMP that was repeated, that it was just really, really difficult place to get to find them. I'm also not surprised that this is the way it ended. And you know what? I actually don't really shed a tear that this is how this went down. I do appreciate that there are a lot of unanswered questions that we may not know. But as per Barb's point, I think we're going to be able to look at, you know, cell phone, you know, messaging, insights there. But I actually do think about the families, and not just the families of the victims, but the families of these two accused killers. I think everyone now can just move on. I think that if this went any other way, if there was a trial, there would have been, you know, they would have to endure this and would have just gone on and on. And frankly, I'm actually just glad that it's ended the way that it has.
Trevor, is this the end to you? Do you think that this is going to be, you know, we'll have the autopsy done in the next couple of days, as Chris Lewis alluded to, we'll have a situation where we find out a little bit more information as to what went down, and that will be the end of the chapter?
I don't think it's the end. I think for me, I really want to know what really happened in there. Like, they were able to evade so many levels of law enforcement for quite some time in over such a large geographic area. Like, I want to understand what their route was, how that actually went, where they aided, how they actually made it out there. I'm interested to know how the end went for them. Did they turn on one another? Did they just expire at the hands of the wild? I'm interested to know how that actually went as well. I don't need to know all the gory details. I'm just interested. I think there's more to the story that I think people are going to want to know. I think the one thing that's bothering me about this, though, is by finding this end and them not being caught, and every single release, it's still alleged, It's still the alleged murderers that we don't get some sort of justice and some sort of finality to the fact that they committed these crimes for the families, for us, for everyone. And that's the thing that bothers me, that they weren't able to answer for their crimes in a meaningful way.
Although you could make the other argument that they probably got a stiffer sentence than they ever would in our justice
system.
That's
true. That is true. But there, you know what I mean? But there's an asterisk on it, right? If you go to the Wikipedia 20 years down the line, it's always going to say alleged. It will. We can't actually add some finite sort of clarity to that. So that's my frustration with how that they weren't actually able to be caught before they died.
Yeah, Savan, when I hear this conversation, and it's really interesting the way it sort of panned out, the roadmap is also part of this. It's not just the motive. It's not just the intent and the why, but the way they got across this country and traveled that distance. Mm. That's of interest to a lot of people out there as to how they were able to escape or run from authorities for this long.
Mm-hmm. To hide, and these are rough conditions, right? The mosquitoes are out and there's animals in the wild, and it's not like you can stop at the country store and pick up some new provisions. So what that would have been like over those last 2 weeks, to know that the nation is looking for you, and the local authorities and the national authorities joined forces and put everything they had against this in this area to cover the 11,000 square kilometer piece of geography that I can't even imagine doing one of those kilometers with what you'd have to plow through. So yes, the roadmap's going to be fascinating. And I hope for families that they get enough information at the end to find some peace after this in the decades that will take. But this has just been a horrific story for the last few weeks.
We're going to turn things a little locally here because the chief of police, Mark Saunders, is on the scene of a double shooting. Yet again, another shooting in our city, this time a car filled with bullet holes in the Flemington Park area of our city. There's a story out today talking about how the mayor and most councillors voted down additional spaces in neighborhoods like Lawrence Heights in that area where that young man lost his life in the stairwell. Barb, you know, we're now a couple of days removed from the weekend where we had tons of gunplay and tons of gun violence. Are we any, you know, I hate even asking the stupid question, but it needs to be asked. Are we any closer to a solution in any of this?
I think we're so far from a solution. We're also a couple of days removed from the chief of police saying, you know, if you're in your neighborhood and you have a 9-to-5 job and you go to bed at a good hour, and I'm paraphrasing, you're not going
to
be in trouble.
You're almost spot on, though. Yeah.
But it is,
yeah.
it's that. If you're not out in the middle of the night, you're going to be safe. And this is broad daylight, and this is frightening. And one of the things I was talking about a couple of days ago is, if in fact it is mostly gang violence, gang members don't care who's in the way. When they're going after somebody or some people, you know, kids could be in the way, moms could be in the way, anybody could be in the way, and they don't care. And that's the scary thing. We are very far from finding a solution. I think these neighborhood youth hubs are sort of where we have to start looking, because do we want to catch things before they start to happen, or try to corral everything after it's happened? What is causing these people to go down this road? Is there a way to offer an alternative before they get in so deep they can't get out?
Rob, when you look at it, 6 shootings three weekends ago, 4 shootings 2 weekends ago. This past weekend, we had 14 shootings. 17 shootings, 14 people were hit by bullets. This chief continues to come out. Now he's standing at the scene of a double shooting and say, well, this isn't Toronto. At what point do we have to put our finger on the pulse and say, no, this very much is Toronto. This is our identity. Let's deal with the real problems that are in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, I completely agree with you. I think that, listen, these are complex issues. And like most complex issues, you're not going to have a simple, you know, solution. I believe, I work in healthcare communications, and generally the principal thought by, you know, the medical academic research profession in healthcare is that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I truly believe that, building on Barb's point, we should be looking at making investments in different areas. And I know that there's a cost, and I do appreciate referencing, you know, the mayor and council's decision and not being able to fully fund different activities. And listen, resources are finite. You have to make tough decisions. But with an issue like this, the safety of our streets, looking at our youth, I believe that making that investment will actually reap reward.
Savan, I mean, you look at this number, it seems, and I don't want to say it's a drop in the bucket, you're looking at what, 1 million and a bit to put these what seems to be a good idea, these type of community centers and these kind of youth hubs mm-hmm. in communities that desperately need them.
I'm a big fan of these hubs. And yes, a million and change versus the policing budget is over a billion, I guess, at this point. And it's not that we necessarily ought to look at these budget lines and say, I'm going to take from policing to push over here. It's not a toothpaste tube with the cap on. It doesn't work like that. But where there are interventions, Barb mentioned this, are there ways upstream so that these kids have an alternative to that? And then importantly, are there jobs that eventually you could go to, and is there transit to get you to the job? Often, one of the primary reasons why people don't have jobs is they can't get there. They literally can't get to one. So there's many branches in this one. And it is about youth centers as kids. It is about jobs. It is about transportation. It's about opportunities in general. But this is happening in Toronto, and we are a big city now, and I suspect we're going to see even more of that in the summer days to come.
Yeah, Trevor, I feel like the reaction from those in charge, namely the police chief, has been to lean back on that old Toronto idea that we're, you know, this isn't who we are. I think it's about time we took a look in the reflective glass and figured out exactly that this is who we are. Yeah. Not everywhere, yeah, but in some pockets.
We're a large metropolis. Like, there, like these issues come with them. It doesn't mean that we can't find solutions to some of these issues. And I appreciate the chief's statement. Like, I mean, what's he going to do? Go out and wave his hands and be like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone has a gun. We're in panic. Instead, I appreciate the measured response. But with that being said, I think there's two things we need to do. What we all talked about right now with prevention. I used to actually work with a group that used fitness as a mentorship tool with at-risk youth. We saw tremendous amount of work in at-risk neighborhoods, a lot of uptick and a lot of interest, and actually saw a different career paths for a lot of the youth that participated. That works. We know it works. We just need a little bit more investment and energy in that area. But then we also need to actually start tackling the issue that's at hand right now. There are guns out there. There are people out there with not even guns, other tools, who want to actually cause harm. And we actually need to make sure that we have a police response out there that's more active on that front. And I don't necessarily think we're feeling that right now. Clearly we're not, considering there's still violence happening.
Trevor, Rob, Barb, thank you. I know
thank
there were
you.
Only a couple of subjects Cheers. Today, but we appreciate the insights on both of those.